Amen. Well, I'm going to have to obey the Lord. And I'm going to try to make this as blunt as I can. Let me say before I get started that I am thankful for Calvary, thankful for the room and the privilege to be a part of the meeting. And it's been 6 years since we've been here. 5 years ago this week, I was supposed to be here, and the Lord saw fit to let my son go home to be with the Lord. This past Saturday would have been 5 years, and we were on our way, packed up, ready to come, but God had other plans. And this church has been a friend, our family, and loved us and prayed us through the dark valley of our life. And then many of you have been that to us. And then my wife getting cancer has slowed us down a good bit. But again, there's friends in here, churches in here that have continually brought us to the throne of God. And we are indebted to you. And we're so thankful for your faithfulness to pray for us and our family. And it is a joy to be here. If you've got your Bibles, will you turn to 1 Kings chapter 21? I'm going to preach. I don't know how you'll take it, but I'm going to preach it. First Kings chapter 21, we're going to go to two different places. We can stand if you want to. We'll reverence the reading of the word of the Lord and try to rest you from sitting. God help us. First Kings 21, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it and money. Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. We know the story. Ahab goes out and acts like the child that he is. Jezebel begins to scheme with sons of Belial, convinces the men of the city, the elders, the nobles, and the inhabitants to stone Naboth based on lies. Now I want you to turn to 2 Kings, chapter number 9. Jehu has just conspired against the king of Israel, Ahab's son. And when he has killed him, in verse 26, of course, he, verse 25, then said Jehu to Bidkar's captain, Take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth, notice, and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord. I don't know how many times I've heard the story of Naboth in the vineyard, never realized that his sons died too. If I can tonight, I'm simply going to preach with this thought, I'll die with Daddy. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and the privilege it is to be in the house of God. Lord, I need you for a few moments. Give us the words to say, power to preach, conviction in the service. Deal with hearts, I pray, and establish the eternal work you've set out to do. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Naboth and his vineyard here has been preached on for years, and it seems, you know, I've heard it all of my days. I've heard the story of Naboth and his vineyard. And I'm not telling you anything new, but I've got some things that I feel like God wants us to say. We push our young people into making a decision, and we look at the world in which we live, and we desire for our children to know something of the power of God, to know something of the presence of God. And yet we have neglected as parents our responsibility to nurture an atmosphere where they could know God. Naboth and his vineyard, I believe, represents a Christian heritage. He has inherited it from his father and from his grandfather. This was an inheritance that was passed down from the moment they crossed over Jordan and his forefathers took that land. Naboth is now a recipient of people, amen, that just stayed faithful doing what God wanted them to do. Ahab is a picture of the world, social influence, and a desire to eliminate that Christian environment. I believe that the vineyard is a great picture of Israel as a nation. There's no doubt of that. It was referred to today in Isaiah 5 when God was looking at Israel as his vineyard. And what God desired in Israel was a nation that had the environment of worship and righteousness and holiness. And God was the one nurturing that. And yet a wild vine was produced. But I believe that the reason why the nation vineyard became a wild vine is because mom and daddy dropped the ball somewhere. You see, this nation is never going to be a nation after God until we've got some homes that are after God. Amen. So I'm preaching more probably to the parents for a little while, so just stick with me. He hit the young people, I'm going to go to mom and daddy. The vineyard is imperative in the family. In an atmosphere of a Christian home and having a Christian heritage. I understand not everybody's got that. I'd say a majority of you probably do have somewhat of a Christian home or parents that have raised you in church. And if you have not that, then I guarantee you God has put somebody in your life that took you in and tried to introduce you to the presence of God in your life. It's a picture of God's presence. I am the vine. It is a picture of God's power as he is the source for that vine. It is a picture of God's position in the home. I am the center of attention. If you need anything, if you desire something for your home, you have got to look to me to supply that. God's purpose is fulfilled in seeing in that vine. His production and fruitfulness is in the vine. The provision is in the vine. The promises are in the vine. The prosperity is in the vine. It is imperative that a Christian home has a vine. Naboth cared for that environment. He cared for that vineyard and what it represented. A Christian home in a godless society. Ungodly leaders. I mean, his house, his vineyard is hard up against Ahab's house. And he says, you know what? We can still have a Christian environment. We can still have God in the center of our world. We can still be purposed in the work of God. We can still have God in my children. My children can still know God. My children can have the presence of God in their home and the power of God in their home and see promises of God fulfilled right next to Ahab. We just got to make sure the vineyard is taken care of. It's imperative that this vineyard continue on. Oh my. So he cared for it. What did he do? I believe he did what God did in Isaiah 5. He built a wall around it. Just stay with me. I'm not even going to preach the message. I'm just going to preach the introduction pretty much. He built a wall around it. He said, you know what? Them kids are so important. They're my life. They're my heart. And I'm going to give this to them where they can have a Christian home for themselves. My grandchildren can be a benefit of what I'm doing and what I'm laboring for. So you know what? We need to build a wall around it. Need to build a wall up because little foxes get in and spoil the vine. I'm afraid most people are trying to raise a Christian home, amen, raise children in a Christian environment without any walls, and it's impossible. Amen. They ain't got no walls up. Go to their home, every channel the devil needs to get into their children and wreck their minds and steal away their heart, he's got it. They let him in. I grew up with no television, no movies, no computer, nothing. We worked, we farmed. Billy Kelly ran us around that farm like crazy. That's what I remember growing up. I didn't need a computer. I didn't need TV. I didn't need movies. But you can't even parent without them. I'm telling you, preacher, I'm preaching. It's on. Can't even parent without them. Disney set, Disney, let me just tell you something. You got Disney in your house, and your child turns out to be a sodomite. Shame on you. I said Disney, just so we're clear. I hate the mess. You can go down there and support that bunch of junk. I know lost people that won't go to Disney World and Disneyland or have anything to do with Disney. Lost people. We got people say they're saved. They say they're saved and they support that mess. No walls. Drag queens being paraded in front of them. Predators being supported. Disney kid stars saying how they were abused and molested, and you still support them. God have mercy on you. You're going to have a Christian family. You expect your kids to see it like the preacher just preached about? You really expect them when you're letting them look at God knows what? No walls. Foxes getting in and they're spoiling the vine, and pastors are up here trying to preach to young people, and we're left with leftovers from the world that we're trying to salvage. And then we wonder why we beat our heads on the brick wall while we're trying to preach to them and not see God do anything. There used to be a time you'd preach and you'd preach with that burden. You could see young people weep. I remember being at Brother Rackley's preaching just about like this, feel this kind of atmosphere, watch their young people weep and crawl up in the altar. And I was 15 minutes into preaching. Sensitive to the Holy Ghost. What happened? Mom and Daddy dropped the walls. They got older, more trustworthy. You can laugh all you want to, but I'm just telling you right now, I don't trust me as far as I can throw me. Dropped the walls, and then he built a watchtower. Made sure they stayed connected to the man of God in their life. But you know what something is interesting? Every pastor I'll talk to, they'll tell you, if there's one problem between them and connecting to young people, it's mom and daddy. And you say you want a Christian home, and you can't even connect to your pastor and support your man of God, say amen when he's preaching. Let me throw that in neutral for me. I don't care if I'm here at midnight right now, amen. That's how much anger it's in me. Be angry and sin not. I got anger tonight, and I'll just be honest with you, amen. And it ain't me. I didn't come in here angry. I'm angry right now. You hearing me? Amen. I don't know what to tell you outside of that right there. I am telling you, we have come disconnected to the man of God. Can't even say amen while he's preaching. This is the most deadhead, silent generation that's ever been in the house of God. Best thing some of you young fellas can do is realize that God gave you a word to back up your preacher. It's a real easy word. It's amen. Use it a few times to back up your man of God and let everybody know you stand with the preacher. By the way, you say it, you can't whisper that word. Amen. No, you can't do that. Can't do it. Put a watchtower up there. You know what? If this vineyard's going to make it, and my grandchildren are going to experience a Christ. I don't know if some of you know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to tell you what it is. I know what it's like to go into a family reunion at the Townsend home and watch my uncles and aunts get up there and sing about thank God for my Christian home, and watch my grandma and my grandpa sit there, amen, while they sung and throw their hands up in the air and start walking around saying, thank you, Lord, for a Christian home. Thank you, Lord, for the Christian heritage. I know what that's like. Are you hearing me? I know what it's like to watch my mama at the drop of a hat start skipping and shouting through the kitchen, rejoicing in the goodness of God. I know what that is in my home. Your children ever seen that? Huh? Some of you preachers, pastors, wives, has your children ever seen you get so full of God you couldn't help it? It's going to take walls, boys. It's going to take walls. Oh, my soul. It's going to take walls. It's going to take a watchtower. Amen. It's going to take removing. It's going to take work. Removing rocks. You know what I think that is? I think that's removing all the offenses. Stumbling blocks. Every child's different. I'll agree with that. But I'm telling you right now, they got flesh. And there are some things that are just a snare and a stumbling block and have no business in their life. And it is up to you, Daddy, to make sure that rock gets out of the vineyard. Amen. Amen. That family grows and they get a little older. I'm scared to death preaching this. I got a 15-year-old at the house. Amen. I understand where I'm at. You hear me well, though. I had a mom and daddy that showed me how it's done. You figure out one of these boys, one of your children are struggling in the area, you make sure you do everything possible. They don't ever get offended in serving God, and you make sure you don't do the offending.
Right. Right.
Amen. And you know what else he did? He built a wine press. Amen. He did that because of future investment. Oh, yes. He knew there was fruit coming. You don't plant that kind of vineyard, you don't go to all that work without expecting some fruit. Amen. And I'm telling you, there ought to be some mamas and daddies in here that have young people in here, amen, even pastors alike, amen. And you are looking down the road, looking at the fruit that's coming down the road. You say, know what? Amen. We need to be able to take advantage of that fruit. You know what we need? We need a wine press. Amen. Amen. And when that fruit starts to come and that fruit starts to grow and it ripens up, amen, we can take use and put it in use in the ministry. I don't know why in the world. It blesses my heart. Amen. Brother Sexton's crowd, those young people using their talents for the glory of God. Amen. Would to God we had some young people, amen, that said, hey, I want to get plugged in somewhere. Ought to be a line around the building, young people saying, hey, use me. Use me. I'll play the piano. I'll play the bass guitar. I'll lead the singing. Whatever it needs to be done, I want to do it. The problem is that has to be taught. And the reason why your kids are happy sitting on their tail doing nothing is because you are. Either that or you don't make them. And I don't understand that either. Amen. Now some of you are like, okay, probably a good idea to sell this thing then. That's way more work than I was bargaining for. Yeah. I got news for you. A bunch of them have. It's been 6 years since I've been here. There's a whole lot of people not here that was here when I was last here. I just wonder if somebody sold out, sold their Christian home out. They're selling them out all the time. They're selling them out to Disney and Hollywood and DreamWorks, selling them out to Facebook, Twitter. I hate all of it. I understand there's things that you've got to use, but I hate all of it. It's a snare. It's a pit. It's filthy, it's perverted, it's wicked, and you can't control it. I'm going to tell you something about that thing you can't control. You ready? You ever wonder why God told the people of Israel to go in and just wipe out nations, kill them all dead, dead, dead? I mean, kill the men, the women, the children, all of them! You go, how in the world could God do that? Let me tell you how. What you cannot control, you got to kill. And they ain't one, every last one of them, if they'd have left one baby alive, it'd have come back to bite them. That's the same way with your flesh. Amen. It knows how to, I'm telling you, it knows how to get you. And you know it. Don't you? This means yes. This means no. This means I don't know. Selling out. I know families selling out for Xbox and PlayStation. I figured it'd get a little quiet right there. How in the world do you have time for that junk? What a waste of your life. You could be learning a trade. Amen. Not just one. You could learn several. You could dedicate your time to walk with God. All this productivity in my mind, purpose-filled life. And mom and daddy let the Xbox and PlayStation come in the house and that keeps them quiet. God help you. They're just going to let them be boys. Well, they'll stay boys. I know they're married. I know they got kids. They're still babies. Immature, small brats. And you can't pastor them. My pastor made the statement not too long ago. He said, if you got video games in your house, he said, I just mark it down. I'm not telling you to leave. I'm telling you, I can't pastor your kids. And he's right. And I don't care what pastor in here says they can. They can't. It messes with their head. I promise you that people that are addicted to Game Boy, PlayStation, Xbox, whatever those things are, I promise you they're addicted to porn. Guarantee it. Matter of fact, that's been a scientific study. The same endorphins that are released in a game station when they're playing a game is the same one when they're looking at porn. And you're going to let them play with it. So you want a vineyard or not? I'm preaching tonight. I'm 37 now. And the older I get, the more I realize, boy, my mom and daddy knew what they were doing. Boy, they didn't have nothing. Nothing, preacher, but they had God. And their whole world was spent and keeping the presence of God in our home. Yes. I want you to notice something about the world real quick. I'm going to give you three things. Ahab comes, and he is coming, by the way. I don't know when he's coming for your family. I don't know when the offer is going to come, brother, but sooner or later, Ahab's going to show up at your vineyard. And he's going to want to buy it. And it might be at the point in time when you're at the toughest part of your marriage or struggling the most with your children. He's going to make you an offer. Thing is that offer ain't going to come without a sense of demand. You know what he said? Give me thy vineyard. That word give means yield. Surrender it. Relinquish it. I want it. I'm going to tell you something. I think parents have underestimated the desire that the world has for their Christian home to be wiped out. I don't think you understand how the world views the Christian home. I don't think you get it. If you did, you'd be a lot more careful. Them walls be a lot higher. Be less holes to put in to fill up. Oh yeah. He's coming and he's going to demand it. Give it to me. He's going to use every intimidation factor he can. Give it to me. I think Ahab probably paused. I don't think he thought he was going to get it for nothing. But I think there's probably something in there saying, just maybe, because of who I am, he may just give it to me. Scared. Terrified of who I am. What I can do. I've seen them fall out for a lot less. Give me thy vineyard. He wanted it. But why did he want it? Look at the desire here. I'm hurrying. Did he want to just... Was he wanting the grapes? Was he wanting the vineyard? What was he wanting to gain? I tell you what he wants. He wants to destroy the vineyard. And he wants to exchange it and change it over to a garden of herbs. I'm not going to run the reference, but the first time you ever find garden of herbs in your Bible, it's referring to God talking about the land of Egypt. And he says, this land, the land of Canaan, is not like the land of Egypt where seeds are planted, you've watered with your feet, a garden of herbs. That's what he called Egypt. And you know what the world wants to do? It wants to take a Christian home, a Christian family, a Christian environment. He wants all that dedication and that work that's been channeled in to keeping God in their house. And he wants to transform it to Egypt. And you know what he's done to family after family after family? He did it. And now you can't tell the difference between them and somebody lost in a ball in high weeds. People that I watch shout now get on social media and cuss. Young people that used to be in youth meetings that I preached to, now they look like a bunch of sodomites. What happened? They sold out. Ahab bought them and turned it into Egypt. Here's the thing. It ain't going to stay that way. It ain't going to stay that way. By the time we get over there to 2 Kings, it's a field. It ain't even being used. The only thing it's good for is a graveyard. That's where homes are headed. You hearing me? You sell out to Ahab before it's all over with, it'll be full of dead men's bones. I'm preaching. God help me. He wanted to destroy it. The demand, sell it to me. The desire. Oh, yes. Wanted to erupt. He wanted to break it all apart. The communion of the Spirit of God. Destroy the joy of that home. The peace of that home. Amen. He wanted to destroy the love of that home. He wanted to break away the branches and the connection to the church. He wants to dig up the root, the cause of it all. Get God out of their life. The deceit, here's the deceit, here's the pitch, ready? It's easily replaced. I'll give you another one. I tell you, the other deceit of it is, I'm not only give you another one, I'll give you one better. There's something better than what you're trying to, that environment that you've got for your kids. You ain't got to do it that way. You ain't got to be that strict. You don't have to have those walls, that watchtower. You don't have to have that connection to the pastor. And you ain't got to do it that way. I'll give you a bigger one, a better one. Ever wondered why in the world he had that vineyard? How'd he get it? Could it be that somebody else sold out? Could it be that he had several vineyards? You know something that he wants to destroy the world? That vineyard was a witness to Ahab. You're a wild vine. You're unruly. I'm the vine. You're the branches. You can't prosper without me. And every time Ahab saw that vineyard out his window, he went, you know what? I wish to goodness I could go out there, rip that root out of there, destroy those branches, get rid of that fruit. He was sick and tired of that witness. And the world hates the witness of a Christian home. I mean, they can't stand it. That's why they're doing everything in their power to twist it. They're trying to disrupt it. They started years ago when they put legalized sodomite marriage, and they've started. They've been at work on the home for a long time.
Yes, sir.
And boy, Ahab has got a long list of vineyards that have been given to him. Thing is if they're giving it up and selling it out, why in the world would he think it's better than what I got? What I got's not for sale. My home is not for sale. My marriage is not for sale. My children are not for sale. And there ain't nothing the stinking Ahab can offer me, no vineyard, no better option out there that can replace what God's given me. Boy, he's deceitful. I'll give you a better one. Something a little bit bigger, something better. It's easy to replace. I tell you the major cost of, or the deceit of it is name your price. Boy, don't you ever fall for that trick. Because whatever price you name, he'll match it. You see something? You'll always come out on the losing deal of this thing. You know why? Because something that's invaluable and spiritual, there is no number to it. It's priceless. And the moment you put a price on something that is priceless, you lose. Amen. I'm going somewhere. I'm almost done. Y'all can breathe easy. It's a lie. Ahab's a liar. He can't follow up on that deal. Naboth knew it. You know what he said? God forbid it me. And Naboth didn't sell. I hope there's some Naboths in here. Some dads and moms. Said, my family's not for sale. We may need to build some walls and get a watchtower up. We may need to remove some rocks that are stumbling, become stumbling blocks for my kids. We may need to make sure that we got a wine press in functioning order for their future and see them do something for God. We may need to get some things done, but we ain't selling.
That's good.
Naboth did not sell. But you know the story. The world's coming after it. Sooner or later, daddy's going to die. Naboth passes off the scene. He gets stoned. And we come over here to 2 Kings and we find out that not only Naboth died, but his sons died. So I started looking to see what in the world happened. There's two different scenarios. One is that when they got him up there into that whole crowd, they just killed him and his sons all at the same time. The other scenario that they talk about, historians refer to, is that when Ahab went down to possess it, he was met at the gate. And when he come over there to take over his vineyard, Naboth's son walked to the gate and he said, sorry, Ahab, this vineyard's not for sale. Daddy's vineyard is not for sale. It's transferred ownership. It's my vineyard now. Ahab, I don't know what you've been told, but this vineyard is not for sale.
Amen.
Ahab said, boy, I'll kill you. And he said, then I'll just have to die with daddy.
Amen.
They grabbed that boy and hauled him to the same place they slew Naboth, stoned him and killed him. Ahab marched back to the gate, and the next boy in line stood up at the gate and said, sorry, Ahab, this vineyard is not for sale. I'll kill you. I'll just have to die with daddy. You can't have the vineyard. I wonder if there's any young people in here, amen, that had a Christian home and grew up in it and understand the value of it, that would be willing to say, you know what, amen, I desire a Christian home for me. I desire that same environment, the power of God, the presence of God in my life. I desire that so desperately. I don't care if it kills me. I'm not going to sell out. Give you three reasons why I believe Naboth's sons didn't sell out. I'm done. Number one, daddy was real. I I ain't selling out because I had a daddy that was real. His worship was real. His walk with God is real. You hearing me? His work is real. His words are real. My dad sitting down, giving me instruction. Are you listening to me? Amen. Teaching me how to work. Teaching me how to walk with God. Teaching me how to worship. My daddy was real. I think I'll die with that.
Amen.
Dad was real, but Dad was right. It wasn't just that he wouldn't sell. It was he could not sell. I believe it's Leviticus 25. I believe that's right. And maybe Numbers 25, 23. The land shall not be sold forever. They were never to sell their inheritance. None of them. I wonder if one of them boys said, Ahab, I'm sorry, but it's not for sale. I'll kill you. Well, you might, but daddy was real.
That's right.
Can your children say that about you, by the way?
Tell them, preacher.
Daddy was real. But not just daddy was real, but daddy was right. He stayed in the Bible. He believed the Bible. And what that Bible said, he just did it. He didn't ask no questions. He didn't have to debate it. He just did what the Bible said. He was right when it came to the scripture. He was right when it came to standards. The wall, the landmarks, there's so much that could be preached. Dad stayed right. I'll die with daddy because daddy was ready to die. And that's more than you can say for a whole lot of people. Naboth, daddy didn't squirm. Daddy didn't cry. Daddy was ready to go.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
He knew where he was going.
That's right.
He's going to finish right. Daddy. Daddy was ready to go. I don't know how it all took place, but you say, preacher, I can't believe that them sons all died. Well, don't worry. We're going to read just a few verses after that recollection. Ahab had 70 sons. You know what happened to them? They all died. What are you saying? You're all going to die. Which one you want to die like? Ahab's son or Naboth's sons? Which one you want to go be on? Can you imagine? My mind. Can you imagine old Naboth, preacher, when he died? He steps into paradise. And there's his daddy. There's his grandpa. There's Joshua and Moses and Abraham. And he looked at him and said, hey, Daddy, I didn't sell out. I didn't sell out, Daddy. I stayed. I served. I didn't sell out. And about that time, here comes Naboth's oldest boy. Hey, Daddy, I didn't sell out. I didn't sell out, Daddy. I didn't give it up, Daddy. They had to kill me. I didn't give it up. And here come in the next fella, Naboth's son. Hey, Daddy, I didn't sell out. I didn't sell out. I died like you did, Daddy. I died real. Thank you for being real, Dad. Next boy steps in. Hey, Daddy. Thank you for not selling out. You died right. You died ready. Dad, I didn't sell out. I'm just telling you right now, That had to be some kind of reunion. I think I'll take that one over Ahab's any day. I'll die with Daddy. I wonder if there's any Naboths in here. I wonder if there's any Naboth sons in here. I wonder how easy it would be for you to sell out. That's what I wonder. What would it take for you to turn your back on everything that's been invested in you and sail out? Let me ask you a question. Look up here. I'm done. Almost. Let me ask you a question. If he's gone tomorrow, boys, if he's gone tomorrow, Daddy's gone, is there somebody that he can trust not to sell out the vineyard? How about it? Is there somebody he can trust not to sell out the vineyard? Or how much money you want? What kind of pleasure you want? What's your price tag for what God's given you in a Christian home and what you've enjoyed growing up? Because I'm watching young people sell out for a country music CD, contemporary music CDs. I'm watching them sell out their family just so they can wear a pair of shorts. That's cheap. What scares me to death, preacher, is I don't know how many of our children that we trust to keep the vineyard for our grandchildren. Can you be trusted? Anybody, any Naboth's children in here that said, I'll die with Daddy. I'll die with Daddy before I sell out. Esau sold out because he's hungry. Ananias and Sapphira sold out because they wanted money. Joseph's brethren sold out because they was jealous. Judas sold out because he despised Jesus. You know the biggest sellout to me, just about besides maybe Judas? Esau, or not Esau, Ahab. Ahab sold out, but he sold himself to evil. The reason why Ahab couldn't stand Naboth is because he was a sellout. Amen. I'm just wondering. I want you to get it. I want you to see it. If they don't see it, preacher, it's not going to mean nothing to them, and they're going to sell it.
That's right.
But I'm afraid that many of them ain't seeing it because mom and daddy have not built any walls, put up a watchtower, removed some rocks, and got a wine press in store for their future. The reason why they're selling out, is the reason why they're selling out because they're looking at mom and daddy going, they ain't real. They ain't real. They definitely weren't right. They're not ready to die for what they believe. Let me tell you something, girls. You don't have an excuse. I'm done. I wonder if everybody in here say, I'll die with Daddy. Before I sell out, I'll die with Daddy. I'm done, preacher.